Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
All right, how are we all going? Good. Really good. Today is Palm Sunday. Now, I didn't even realize that it was Palm Sunday until I was speaking to Pastor Levi, because this week has been a really tough week. I was not feeling well, and then I had assessments due, so I was up almost every night this week till 2 a.m., 3 a.m., just writing and researching, and I'm so exhausted. But I just thank you for the grace of the Lord. Who is he? Who here, I can't even speak, who here is grateful for the grace of the Lord? We are all here today because of the grace of God. So thank you, Jesus. We just honor you. And yes, that is the heart of God. So when I was preparing for this message, God wants to be honored in this place, in our hearts, in our lives. Jesus wants to be glorified. Jesus wants to be lifted high. And he doesn't force us to do it. He invites us to do it. So this message today about, you know, Palm Sunday, although I won't be mentioning anything about a palm, but it is the coming of Jesus. And our passage will be in Luke 19. So if you have your Bibles today, we'll look into that. But this is such a beautiful message about the coming of Jesus. And you know, the Lord is inviting us to join him, to just honor him and revere him as who he really is. So before we do that, I do want to just take a moment to pray, and let's close our eyes. And, you know, as what Amy was saying in that message, nothing happens without prayer. So let's all pray. Thank you so much for this morning, oh Lord. Thank you that you've brought each and every one of us here today. I thank you that it is your word that is being spoken. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are guiding me. And I thank you that you are removing any distraction and anything that is not from you. Lord, let it blow away like chaff. And I just pray that everything that remains is from you. So guide us. And I pray for hearts, Lord God, that are ready to receive your word. And I pray that you will speak to us. Lord God, this will help us strengthen our faith in you. So Jesus, we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, let's all read in Luke 19 from verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt or a little donkey tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Now, there's a lot to unpack here, but we will go through the verses together and we will find the heart of Jesus and his invitation for his disciples, which extends to us, the disciples of Jesus today. So just a little bit of background of this passage. Jesus had just finished his ministry in Galilee now, and is now heading to Jerusalem. So this is actually the very first time that he will step into Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, to minister, to start spreading the message of the kingdom of God. Now, it makes me think about how God is constantly moving. So when he first began his ministry, that was before he started in Galilee, the first thing that happened to him was he was tempted in the desert. And after the temptation in the desert, that's when he began his ministry. And he started in Galilee in his hometown. Now, sometimes, you know, it's really hard to preach or share the message to the people closest to you because they don't see you as that person. Because they know you from when you were young. You're like, oh, yeah, that's Vanya from 10 years ago. Like, sometimes they don't even listen to what you're saying, but they only see who they thought you were. And that's how they felt about Jesus. So, unfortunately, they rejected Jesus and Jesus just kept moving on. And, you know, church, that's what happens. The presence of the Lord will speak to you, will minister to you, but if you don't recognize it, you will miss it. And it will just move. Not that the Lord will leave you, because he will never leave you or forsake you, but there are moments where he wants you to hear him. There are moments where he's speaking to you specifically, but if we don't pay enough attention, we will miss it. We will miss that moment. So don't ever miss the moment. Always keep your eyes and ears, your spiritual ears open to what the Lord is doing. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, passed by Jericho, and you know this is where he encountered Zacchaeus. And it's so good to have the Domingos here. I was so happy to see you. When I was writing this, I was going to say something because you shared a beautiful message about Zacchaeus and on communion. You know, because at the time, you know, the Holy Spirit was not revealed yet, so Jesus was just one person. So for him to come to that city, you really had to be expectant. So Zacchaeus was expectant, and lo and behold, Jesus intended to visit him anyway and spend time with him. So it begs us the question, do we recognize the coming of Jesus? Now today, the Holy Spirit is with us and leading us. As I've said before, do we recognize his move, his voice, his intentions? Do we allow him to guide us? So as Jesus moved from Galilee, this is the beginning of his ministry to Jerusalem. And this was just before. This is almost like a climax, but because it's close to him coming to the cross and giving his life and fulfilling the call of being the savior of the world. So as Jesus enters Jerusalem, Jesus invites his disciples to prepare his coming. So that's, if I were to give pointers, this is one: preparation. Jesus invites us to prepare for his coming. Jesus, before entering the city, he asked his disciples, bring me a colt. He says here in verse 30, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat. Jesus wants a young donkey that no one has sat on. This donkey is meant just for him. Now, who owned this colt? We don't know. Luke didn't say. It may have been from one of his followers and a friend of a friend of a friend, but there is a donkey. There is a place specifically just for him to sit on. A young donkey. Now, we know that Jesus is intentional. There is purpose to everything that he's saying and doing. So we just have to listen closely, listen, be intent in just paying attention to the little details, because nothing is ever random with the Lord. That meeting with a person, that's not random. That conversation with that person, that is never random. That text message that you receive, that is not random. You receiving that job, that is not random. You praying for that person is not random. There is a purpose for everything that the Lord is doing. So when Jesus asked for that colt, when Jesus asked for that young donkey, he was saying that there is a place specifically for him. church, there is a place specifically for him and he is calling for it. There is something that is meant for him that no one is meant to sit on, but just for him, and he is calling for it. Church, look into your life. Let's reflect in our life and even the life of our church. There is a place that is meant for Jesus that no one can sit on but him, and he is calling for it. He is calling for that place in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your workplace, in your family, even in your worries or moments of despair. There is a place for him. And Jesus is saying, untie it and bring it here. Others may ask why the Lord needs it. When you get a call to say, okay, Lord, you're calling me to give up my job, or you're calling me to give this much money. Some people may say, why? Say the Lord needs it. God has a purpose for it. God is going to get glorified for it. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to minister. I'm going to give up my time practicing. Why? Because the Lord needs it. God is going to use it and he will be glorified. I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to give up my addictions. I'm going to turn away from my old life. Why? You're going to miss out on all these fun things. No, because the Lord needs my life. He's going to use it and he will be glorified. Give to God what belongs to God. That colt, that young donkey belongs to him. You belong to him. Us as a church, we belong to the Lord. The Lord says, untie it, whatever it is. Hold your fist like this, church, as an act of faith. And think of that thing that you are holding on so tightly that you are so afraid of letting go. The Lord is saying, untie it and bring it here. Bring it to him right now and let go as an act of faith. Give to God what belongs to him. Thank you, Jesus. And in verse 32 and 34, the disciples obeyed. We see them. They're not, maybe they said, oh, how can we find this donkey? There's so many donkeys in the city. What does it look like? Does it have a collar? Does it have a tag? Can you tell us a marker? No. But in verse 33, they said, in verse 32, so those who were sent went away, they obeyed and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, they said, the Lord, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. So Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen and they obeyed. Now, maybe the owners already knew that this was prepared or planned. Either way, Jesus spoke of it and it came to be. Jesus never lies. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So whatever the Lord has spoken over your life, whatever prophetic word that you have received, whatever promises that you are holding on to, believe that it will come to be. Jesus spoke it and it will come to be. He will not lie. He does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So let's just ignite our faith once again. If we have kind of died down or simmered down, as the songs that we were singing today, set a fire again in my soul. Let me burn again for you and believe again that your promises will come true, that your word is true, and what you've said over me, that I am a son or daughter of the Most High, that I am healed, that I am blessed, that I belong to you, that I'm part of this healthy community. Believe it once again, because that what the Lord has said. Jesus spoke it and it will come to be. Now, that's the preparation. We need to prepare for his coming. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, bring it to him. Untie it and bring it here. That colt represented something. Now, there's always something. There is purpose to everything that he is saying and doing. Now, in the second part of this passage, Jesus invites his disciples to recognize him as king. So this is recognition. In verses 35 to 37, it says, they brought it to Jesus, the young donkey, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So we'll just stop there for a little bit. Now, it was time for Jesus to come down this hill. So they were coming down from the mountain. So I was researching late at night last night, and it was like the Mount of Olives is very high, just outside the city of Jerusalem. So he'll be coming down from a cult. I don't know if you guys have seen The Lord of the Rings. Have you seen The Lord of the Rings? I've watched it 10 times, and I feel like watching it again tonight. So there was a battle between... I can't remember, but it was so beautiful. It was the most epic scene where they were waiting for Gandalf to come because he was looking for forces, and the people were struggling, the humans were struggling. They were about to be subdued by the orcs, the enemies. Sorry, nerdy. It's a bit nerdy. But anyways, just before they were about to lose, just before they were about to give up, the sun comes out from that top of the hill, and at the top of that hill was Gandalf on his white horse. It was so beautiful. And behind him were the rest of the army. And they all came down. And it was a blinding light. And then the enemies were just like shook. And they all ran away. They were all defeated. And so they won that battle. It was beautiful. Watch it. It's the Fellowship of the Ring. I'll watch it with you. Extended version. I bought it so I can rewatch it anytime. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that Jesus was just about to enter from that top of the hill and coming down, and they recognized something of Jesus as he was coming down. This was not just the rabbi that they had, that they have walked along with. This is not just a teacher that they have walked with or did life with. There's something about him. Yes. But that's why they took off their cloaks. And at the time, we don't wear cloaks these days, but during that time, a cloak is a symbol. It can be a symbol of status. It can be a symbol of authority, a cloak of success, because can you have the most expensive ones? The more expensive, the more better looking, it shows you how much money you've got at the time and what your achievement. So, but the disciples, as they prepared the way, as they prepared the donkey and the robe, they took off their cloaks and laid it on the ground, laid it on the colt, and laid it on the ground. They recognized who Jesus is, so they took off their cloak. You take this cloak for us. You take off that cloak of security. You take off that cloak of authority, that cloak of success, of your achievements, and lay it before God. Why? Because he is the King. He is the God. He is your Lord and he is Savior. All these things he can give you, but you take them off and recognize that he deserves that honor first and foremost. You know, back to the movie Lord of the Rings. I just love it. Towards the end, the third movie this time, when Aragorn, the king, was finally crowned, the king of Gondor, all creatures bowed to him. All creatures, humans, elves, and hobbits, they recognized him as king. Now, church, we love church, don't we? We love spending time together. We love life groups. Guys, life groups was awesome. Thank you. If you guys are not part of life group, please join well because it's fun. It's so good. You know, we love studying the word. We love serving at church. But sometimes we become too familiar. Too familiar. I personally has become too familiar with the presence of the Lord that I have taken it for granted. That I am missing the point. That I have stopped seeing him, revering him as he who truly is. And that is, he's the Lord of all. He is a king. He deserves honor. And I have forgotten to give him the honor that he deserves. Now, Jesus was intentional. There is purpose to everything that he's saying and doing. Because as he was riding that donkey, this is actually a fulfillment of a prophecy back in Zechariah 9:9. This hundreds of years before Jesus even came to earth. It says here, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Here is the fulfillment of that promise, the coming of the king, and that is Jesus. But let's hold up for one moment, because traditionally kings come on a horse. It's, you know, very, very majestic creatures, horses. And oftentimes with an envoy or big procession, it's loud, it's just, you know, it's very fancy. Fancy. Imagine the king, his birthday is coming up, we have to celebrate him. There's always a big procession, people waving flags and welcoming him. You gotta honor the king coming. But Jesus is on a lowly donkey that he does not even own. We don't even know who owns that donkey. But here he is sitting on a donkey that does not look like a king. But despite of that, the disciples recognized something about him. They took off their cloaks. Bear in mind that at the time, the whole nation of Israel was expecting a Messiah, a majestic king to rule over them, a mighty warrior like David to overthrow the political enemies, the Romans at the time, so they can come out as a chosen nation, this wonderful and powerful nation once again over the rest of the world. That's what they were expecting. And maybe in the back of their minds, they're thinking, Jesus, when are you going to do it? Come on, surprise us with something exciting like that. They expect Jesus to just come out suddenly, like, okay, guys, I'm done pretending. I'm actually a warrior. Let's attack. Let's attack the Romans. Maybe they're thinking that. But it says in verse 37, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. In that moment, they recognized Jesus not according to their expectation, but according to his revelation. Now, when you read Luke, they saw his authority over unclean demons, his authority over sickness, his authority when he teaches the scripture, when he calls people to become his disciples, when he teaches about the law, when he preaches about loving others, when he forgives, when he declares that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, when he calms the storm, when he sends out his followers to proclaim the kingdom of God, when he feeds the 5,000, when he teaches about parables, when he declares the cost of following him, when he welcomes the children, when he heals the blind beggar, when he dined with tax collectors, when he asked for that donkey that is untouched. There is that authority that they have never seen before. This authority unlike any other, the authority that can only come from a king that is not from that earth. They saw who Jesus truly was when they let go of that expectation. And church, he is inviting us to let go of our expectation of him. We cannot set expectations of Jesus just because of what we want. And or just because of our preference, because we will miss the point. We will miss the things that he has already done and what he is about to do when we put what we want first rather than his heart. We've got to look for his heart. When we dive into the pages of the word, he reveals himself gladly to us. When we spend time in his presence, we began to recognize his character, his ways. In Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Church, have we set that expectation over Jesus, over what we want him to do? We often, you know, dictate what we want him to do. But the Lord is saying, glorify me, honor me, recognize me as your king, and let me reveal my glory through you. Now, the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he always shows humility. One of the main themes of Luke is humility, how the humble tax collector, the Samaritan woman, the widows, they are so open to receiving the word of God. But here comes the Pharisees, the rich people, the smart people. Nothing wrong with being rich, but at that time, these people, they're in high positions, yet their hearts are hard. They did not receive the word of God. They did not receive Jesus as their savior because they had that expectation. And the Lord doesn't want us for us. Let's keep a humble posture. Even if things are hard or things that we don't understand, or we're reading the Bible and things are happening to us and we don't understand. We're singing songs that we don't understand, and just give Him your heart and say, Lord, I humble myself before You. Would You reveal Yourself? Would You be glorified in me even when I don't understand? Just know that the Lord is doing something and He is willing to reveal Himself. And in verses 38 to 40, Jesus is inviting His disciples to declare the truth. This is a declaration. So as the disciples saw Jesus coming down from that hill and entering the city of Jerusalem, they declared this all together out loud. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Now, you know, this is from a verse from Psalm 118, when they were saying that, they were declaring that as Jesus was coming down that hill. So when you read Psalm 118, this is actually a psalm that describes a festive or an exciting entry to Jerusalem after a great deliverance. Usually maybe warriors or armies coming down after a great battle and they've won and they're rejoicing because the Lord has given them that victory. However, why did they sing this song when they have not received their deliverance? Because, you know, as I said, they expected Jesus to save them from their enemies, but they're singing this song without receiving that deliverance yet. People have not seen the deliverance from their enemy, but they sang this song anyway. Jesus has not yet conquered sin and death during this time, but they sang this song anyway. It's telling us that the situation, the current situation, does not define the truth. The truth is Jesus is King. The truth is Jesus is the King of Peace. The truth is Jesus is an overcomer and is their deliverer. The truth is this King will bring them deliverance. It may not be the way they've expected, but it is the deliverance that is greater than what they're expecting, and that is deliverance from sin and death. Because a few chapters later, we see in Luke, Jesus' betrayal and arrest, and ultimately His death. And guess what? He comes back to life 3 days later. And you know, He meets with His disciples again in chapter 24, because Jesus was intentional. There is purpose to everything that He's doing and saying. He says to them, these are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. Now back to Luke 19. The disciples didn't have a full understanding yet. However, they still declared Jesus as King who saved them. It hasn't happened yet, but declare it anyway, because this is the truth. You haven't received your healing yet, but declare it, because this is the truth. You haven't seen your family come to Jesus, but declare it anyway, because the truth is Jesus saves. You don't know what your future looks like, but declare that God's word is a lamp unto your feet and light unto your path. You are struggling with anxiety, but declare the truth that Jesus gives you peace. You are experiencing doubt, but declare that the Holy Spirit is sent to reveal the truth. Declare the truth, and not just quietly, say it out loud. This is your faith. This is a declaration. This is your war against doubts, against the lies of the enemy, against even your own failures. It's because, see, the Pharisees, it says here in verse 39, they said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. The Pharisees did not recognize Jesus, so they demanded His disciples to stop. But Jesus rightly responds, even if the people don't declare, the creation will. In Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. If creation cannot deny the truth but declares it, how much more His people who are created in His very own image? Church, let's declare the truth about God, that He is King. Now, it's so amazing though, because the disciples then, they have Jesus physically, but today we don't have him physically. How can we tell the people around us that we're not crazy, that this faith that we have is real? Some people are saying, you don't even know this guy. I haven't seen this guy. What does he even look like? Maybe it's just a, I don't know, some movement or propaganda or a cult that you're following. But there is that conviction. Why? Because you are preparing the way for him. You are removing the things that are preventing you from seeing him. You are recognizing who he is because you're diving into that word. You're spending time with him and you're letting go of your expectations of him. And lastly, you're declaring this truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we could invite the band. You are declaring this truth because this is the truth. The triumphant entry is a prophetic act that Jesus comes not as the king that his people expected him to be, but the king of peace. Not the peace between warring nations, but peace between God and mankind. This is the ultimate peace. This is the ultimate salvation. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And his wounds, with his wounds, we are healed. It is up to us to trust this plan. Jesus is intentional. There is purpose to everything that he is saying and doing. He invites us to prepare for his coming. There is a place that belongs to him and he's calling for it. He invites us to recognize him as king. Let's take off our cloaks, our expectations, and fragmented picture of him and allow him to reveal, allow his revelation to saturate our faith. He invites us to declare this truth. We may not see him, but he is the truth. He declares in John that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's declare him king in this place. Let's tell the world and silence the doubt that he is seated at the right hand of the Father and he promises to come again and we will see him face to face. You know, I remember back then, I know I said the story many times, but when I was young, my dad would work overseas for 11 months a year and we would only see him. So we would speak to him over the phone. He would send us letters. He would send us recordings of his singing so we can hear him sing. But, you know, we always look forward to April because back then in the Philippines, the holidays are in April. So we look forward to the month of April because that's when we will see him face to face. Why don't we have that expectation of God that we don't know the time, we don't know the date, we don't know if it's next year or whenever, if he's coming again, but let's be expectant that he's coming again and we can see him. We will see him face to face. But the best thing about our God is he is here through his Holy Spirit. His presence is here. He is moving and he loves to dwell within us. We are called to be his temple. Now, why don't we, as we sing this song, this is an invitation for us to just once again prepare ourselves as his temple, as his dwelling place. Let's prepare it. With all eyes closed in this very room. Just imagine yourself being in that moment where Jesus was coming down that hill as he enters Jerusalem and you're one of his disciples. And Jesus calls you. Hey, there's a colt for me. Untie it and bring it here. Is there something in your life that you know belongs to God and you're holding on to it so tightly, but he's inviting you to untie it so you obey? Let's prepare our hearts, our bodies, our minds, and just untie everything and allow him to sit on it, allow him to live in it, live in your hearts, and see him glorified. And as we do that, as he comes down that hill, we are so excited because suddenly we are seeing him, not just Jesus, but as the king who has come down to earth, who's actually given up his throne in heaven just to be with us on earth, to give up his life, to suffer the most horrific death, just so we can have a future and a hope, so we can have eternity with him. Let's remind ourselves in this moment all the amazing and wonderful things that He has already done. Or maybe you're still waiting. Maybe you still haven't received that breakthrough, or you haven't seen that answered prayer. But the Lord is saying, declare the truth. As He comes through, as He enters the city, let's declare it out loud that He is King, that He is the King of my life, that although I am sick, I believe that He can heal. He's still King of my life. Although my life is not going well, or I'm struggling in these areas, or I have addiction here, or I'm just so worried, or I'm stressed, or my family, my relationships are not doing well, I'm going to declare the truth that God is for me and not against me. I will declare that He is King over my life. I'm losing my faith, or I'm losing my joy for serving, or my fire for His presence, but I will continue to worship Him and declare the truth that He is still God, that He is still seated on the throne, that He will come again and He will defeat evil once and for all, and all sin will be gone, and He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There is no more pain, no more suffering. I will declare this truth. Church, the Lord is inviting us to see Him as who He truly is. And as we worship Him, as we sing these songs once again, let's declare this truth. To let go of our expectations, to let go of the things that we're holding on to so tightly, and declare the truth that He is above all and that He is for us. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing this song, and you can stay seated, you can stand, but let the song minister to you and just speak healing over our hearts and minds today.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.